Yeah.
Yes.
Do you think, do you see a lot of people jumping in there and kids swimming in there and that kind of thing?
Well, Mr. Cohen must have some pretty good insurance if that's what his objective is, but I guess we're going to see what happens. But yeah, he had a sand line the bottoms. They're all real shallow going up to the edges, so you can walk out. There's no drop-offs.
How deep is it in the middle?
About 7-8 feet.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And it's all aerified with fresh air going in there, so it's from a health issue, it's fine.
Yeah. How many water features are there?
Four.
Four.
This one and then three more.
Back there?
Three more bath complex, I guess you call them, back there. Yeah. And they all flow into each other.
Did you sort of feel a spirit of Pete while you were doing this? You worked so close to him for so long.
Of course. You know, I really did. And it's funny because I met Pete here in 85 or 86.
I know. You were picking rocks and stuff, right? On the first course?
I was. Yeah. So to come full circle, get that phone call, to actually put this together and work with Mr. Kohler again.
Yeah.
Words can't say. It was really something.
Really cool. How much input did he have?
Quite a bit, yeah. Routing, we worked on the routing for months before we even broke ground.
Yeah.
And we got it to crisscross like I wanted, so he's really great to work with.
Yeah.
But also very interested in wanting to know all the design features every step of the way. So.
Cool.
What was your thought when he came up with the name Bats for the golf course? Would you have called it that?
Well, he came up with the name before we started. And for a year and a half, I'm thinking, how am I going to design something that's going to support this name?
Right.
So we had this one pond. And that's all we had for a year. And then at the ninth hour, I got the three-pond complex, got his approval. They all flow into each other. And when you put three ponds all together, guess what? You end up with an island in the middle.
Yeah.
So there is a bonus green out there of an island right in the center of all three of those ponds. So.
Cool. And this is a peninsula tee here on one?
Yes.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's a good look.
This was supposed to be a tee also.
Okay.
But I think they thought it might be a... It might be too dangerous.
Too much. Yeah.
But I've always wanted to build an island tee.
Sure, yes.
About being able to create an island tee.
Oh, yeah,
he would be proud of that, wouldn't he?
Well, he would. And Pete was always trying to come up with something different. So, you know, we would rather even hire shapers or guys who were seasoned professionals. We'd rather have a guy who could barely drive a tractor and teach him how to run a bulldozer, because then we know we'd come up with something different. And no matter how ridiculous it was, we could always make it playable and soften it up enough to get a mower on it. But to come up with new ideas for his whole life like he did, till he, you know, for God, I don't know how long he was building golf courses, from 65 until he was 92.
Yeah.
But yeah, he always wanted something new that no one's ever done before, and it was our job to figure it out. Of course, it took a lot of time, a lot of money. We'd make a lot of changes, but he'd always get something, like down in French, like those volcano bunkers.
I asked him about
that. Oh, yeah, that took
a
while.
I said, how did that happen? He said, well, we had a lot of extra dirt over here, and we decided to move it over there. And so he says, that's what happened.
And he's that's a perfect example, because, you know, he'd come in, he'd be like, nope, that's not it. That's about the fourth try. He said, I think you got it. And then he put a bunker in the top of everyone. He did that almost by himself with his own hands. You know, he loved getting in the dirt.
Yeah.
And he really loved being a part of these projects. I mean, he'd make, even on an average project, he'd make 20 or 30 site visits, you know, down in French. Like, I think he was there 100 times over a 3-year period.
Yeah. Well, one of the greatest stories about French, like, of course, is him getting the job. Telling the people, the cook group at the resort, he goes, I can't build a golf course on this, going home, and then calling them up the next morning and say, wait a minute, I think I got this figured out. And so he comes down to a restaurant, he meets up with all of them, and they said, Pete, what are you thinking? And he puts a cocktail napkin on the table where he had some lines and drawings, and they said, okay, Pete, you got the job. We like that cocktail napkin.
I think I can make it work. They do. Yeah. You see it all the time. Yeah. That's a perfect example of his brilliant mind. Mm-hmm. To know that he could get 8,000 yards on that napkin up there and what he saw just standing on top of that hill I don't think anyone will ever replace him. That's for sure. You just can't.
Yeah. Well, I remember asking him about the island green at Sawgrass, and I said, Pete, how'd you come up with that idea? And he said, go ask Alice.
And that's that's exactly, and I believe that's a true story. You know, he said the job was hectic. They're trying to get done. And one day he decided to count all the holes, and he only had 17 of them. So that's a quote directly from Pete. And then Alice said, yes, why don't you put an island out in the middle of that lake? Because you don't have any real estate left. So That's a true story.
What do you think he'd say if he was standing here right now looking at this project? It was one of our discussions out in the golf course today. What would Pete say? He might have said, you know, I don't know about Herb naming it the bats. He goes, sure. You know, he says maybe he should have called it the toilets or something like that. But you know, Pete, he would have had something creative.
Oh, he would have, and I guarantee he'd wave his arm, and he would have moved a mound, and Mr. Kohler would have saw his arm go here and realized that was going to cost him $50,000. But I don't know which mound he would have moved, but I think he'd have been proud of me, and I believe that, yeah, he'd think this was really good for golf and good for young players, and anything that'll get these young kids playing some golf and swinging some clubs is really going to be something. Yet this will really be challenging. I mean, you're going to play this thing and probably stop in here and play it every time you come through Kohler. So that was the objective. It has a lot of character. I wish the sun would have came out because there's some shadows that you can't imagine out there. So hopefully next time you get over here, you can get a sun angle and see what we did with the shade and shadow, because that was a big Pete Dye teaching point throughout his whole life. He was always working with the sun angles, and we did a lot of that out here that you can really appreciate it when you see it.
What's the best advice Pete Dye ever gave you?
Well, he told me never to own a house. He told me always to rent a car. Of course, I didn't do either one of those. I have three houses and four cars. But I think what he always told me was just you got to get up every morning and you got to make a difference. And his difference was always getting up and doing something for golf. I mean, even when he come to a job site, the crew might not want to go in a Saturday afternoon or a Sunday. But when he was in town, he and I were out there every single time. Especially my most fondest memories were at Kiawa. He and I spent more Sundays on the Ocean Course during construction than anybody. We were always out there messing around, tweaking something, figuring something out. So when Monday rolled around, you know, we had a pretty good idea what was going on.
As I watched the PGA Championship, I was remembering a story Pete told me about that golf course. He said, we probably got away with things because we were also restoring hurricane damage. He goes, if we'd have wanted to do some of the things that we did out there, I'm not sure they'd have given us the permits unless we were restoring hurricane damage. What can you tell me about that? Can you take that story to the next level?
Well, you know, when Hurricane Hugo hit down there, we all left the island, and I don't know what it took to get back out there a couple weeks, and we got there and the dune line was gone. There was no dune line along the ocean course. So to recreate that dune line and try to recreate what was there and plant it all back in sea oats, and yeah, everything was changed overnight. Everything changed. So I mean, he may have taken a little extra real estate here and put some back there, but there was really no records of what the damage that was done from that hurricane. And to look at the place now and see the wildlife and all the tidal wetlands and everything that are down there is really spectacular. How Mother Nature just, you know, things evolve, but they always come back.
Well, I know there's a lot of paperwork yet and probably some permits to get here. There's another project that's been started. Pete walked it a lot back over closer to the lake. And, you know, when I talk to the Kohler people, they always say we're working with all the different legislative bodies and trying to get the permits and trying to get everything approved. But I'm assuming that you're a big part of that as that project goes forward. And is there anything you can tell us that would be okay with the gentleman sitting over at the next table?
There isn't much I can tell you. And I can tell you the truth, though. We haven't talked about it in 10 months or a year. Really haven't. But no one's worked on that piece of property on the routing, on the topo maps, than Pete and I. I mean, we sat down at Crooked Stick 5, 6, 8 years ago. We've been messing around with that piece of ground. So I'd imagine if something happens out there that I'll get a phone call and I'll be involved in some way, shape, or form.
Well, hopefully you will be a big part of the sixth course.
Yes.
And that, you know, again, it would be something else that I'm sure Pete would smile at. He was standing there.
It would be very special, and it's a privilege and an honor to walk in his shoes, so to speak. I don't take it for granted, that's for sure. Mm-hmm.
Are you working in renovations or restorations of some of Pete's other famous courses as they need things now?
Yeah, we actually started. We just tore up the Harbor Course in Vero Beach last Monday. We're redoing all the greens, and eventually we're going to redo the whole golf course. And that was one of my second projects with him back in '87 that I was involved involved with. So we've done the same thing down at Old Marsh in West Palm Beach. We're going down to do some work at Gulfstream, which is Pete's home course down in Delray. And yeah, the phone is just ringing off the hook, and I'm glad they're calling me and not someone else. So yeah, it really is. It's an honor to maintain what he started and you know, take it to the next century or whatever it is.